talk to you week by week, you kind of stay focused and say, you don't look at the big picture, you don't want to look back on your career. Well, now that your career is over, are there just a couple, the Super Bowl, obviously, are there any other moments, you know, the dome coming maybe, your first start in 06 against Tampa, that just jump out as highlights of your career?
I mean, certainly the dome reopening, and we're all, listen, we're all fortunate to get to spend time around Steve. And, you know, that moment for me was certainly eye-opening at the power that this game has. You know, I went to Northwestern. Like, most of our students were upset we had a football team. Like, it's gotten better. I don't want to cause recruiting issues at Northwestern, but, you know, it was not exactly like the atmosphere of an Ohio State or an Alabama or LSU. It was, it was a different kind of deal. And so that was really the first time that I was like, my gosh, like, your ability to affect lives doing this is on such a large scale. Certainly the situation had everything to do with that, but that was a moment I'll never forget. The kick going through the uprights in the Minnesota game is a moment I'll never forget. Getting pulled down to the ground when I had an opportunity to catch a touchdown pass is a moment I'll never forget. That one's really stuck with me. That actually came up today again, so that's great. I think more than anything, and this is true and maybe a little cliche, but the things that I remember most are private moments that I've had in the locker room with people and, stories that you share in a locker room during training camp. As big as all those moments are, at times you can feel a little disconnected from it. Like, it's everybody's moment. It's not ever your moment. It's everyone's. And there's times, and I said the first year I played football, I learned to like practice a lot more than I did when I was young. But it was never so much the football that I had a deep love for. It was the locker room, and it was the camaraderie. And, you know, that's the thing that's hard. You lose that completely. I can compete with somebody or go and play on a team or do something that maybe you get some of that. But that camaraderie, you lose, and you never get that level of togetherness back. So the greatest moments in my career are small things that would not make sense to anyone in this room that, to me, had huge impacts on my life, and those are the things that I'm certainly going to miss the most.
Zach, having a double-digit career, was there ever maybe a thought in your mind where, I don't know how I could play double-digit years, like maybe a particular opponent, I would have to block him every weekend, or maybe a training camp in Jackson? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I had about 9.5 years of those thoughts, Bobby. So I'll tell you this is a great story, and it's appropriate that it gets shared because it is such a big moment in my career. So a lot has been said about the training camp in Jackson in 06, the first one at Millsaps. Obviously a real eye-opener for me as a player. The guy I played next to in college the year before, I'd went and gotten drafted by the Colts, and he was with Tony Dungy. And he's calling me during training camp like, bro, we don't even wear pads. This is amazing. Like, the NFL is the greatest thing ever. And so I get to New Orleans, and we're in Millsaps, and I'm like, this is not what I was sold. Like, this is not the same situation. And so we're about 15 days into that camp or so, and first of all, listen, that camp was very difficult. There was obviously weather issues. But more than anything, I was just getting beaten to death. Like, I was losing every play. That's what it felt like anyways. And so I got to a point where I said, you know, if I'm just going to be a camp body, I'm a pretty, like, introspective person. I generally kind of feel like I have a good idea of, like, what's going on around me and my situation. I was like, I'm getting cut in 3 weeks, so why not just stop now before I subject myself to this much, you know, and then just to get cut in 3 weeks and it's for nothing. And, it's funny now. It was not funny in the moment. I called my dad. And I get on the phone, I said, this is not for me. If this is what the NFL is, I don't care what they're paying. You know, I don't want any part of it. My dad's like, don't, just stick it out. You know, don't stop. Just keep going. I said, okay, whatever. I didn't think about this this morning. This has been going on in my head for 2 weeks. In hindsight, I'm not the only player that thought this during that camp. But in my head, I was walking down. We had a second practice. I'm walking to the fields, and I told myself, I'm going to finish the day. I'm going to finish this practice. That's how I justified it. Finish this day, and then I'm going to go tell Sean that I've had enough, right? It's not for me. I'm walking down to the fields, and our tight ends coach at the time, Terry Malone, walks out of the coach's building. We walked right past her to get to the field. And Coach Malone came out and he said, hey, Zach, how you doing? And Randy Walker basically beat into your head. And someone asks you how you're doing great. There's no other answer. You're just doing great. You're always doing well. That's a decision you're making in that answer. So I said, I'm doing great. I didn't mean it. And Terry tells me, hey, man, I got to tell you, you're doing great. We were really low on numbers. We had several injuries. They probably don't even remember this. I remember it fondly. Stinchcomb was coming off of a knee surgery. We lost Jermaine Mayberry. Before, I don't think he ever practiced once. We had someone else go down. They basically put me and Jaree in at right guard and right tackle and just kind of patted us on the butt and said, go for it. So individual, team, for six straight days, we were the only two players at that position. So I was doing terrible. I told him I was doing great, and he said, listen, we've all been talking in the meetings about, you know, how good you're doing. You're fighting through it. Just keep it up. Just keep up, you know, keep fighting. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe if I just work my butt off, they'll keep me in spite of the fact that I'm getting beat every play. Now, in hindsight, that probably was not true. They wouldn't have, but that's kind of what I said to myself. And so Terry Malone kept me from – walking into his office that day. Now, maybe he would have talked me out of it, but Terry Malone kept me from ever doing that. And from that day on, it was just like, hey, I'll just work as hard as I can, and maybe they'll ignore some of these issues that I'm having. So that would have, yeah, in that moment, Bobby, I did not think for a minute about playing for 10 years or 12 years or even a year. I thought I was done in 3 weeks, so, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I drove in 8 months after Katrina. I gave a speech the other day. I went back and counted. It was 8 months from the end of Katrina. And when I was driving in, I missed an exit. That was before navigation systems. I had MapQuest papers in my passenger seat. And I'm driving in, and I kind of, like, missed my exit. I was supposed to get on some road in Birmingham, and I stopped at a hotel and missed it and wake up the next day, and I just get on the road and drive and realize that I missed a turn an hour later. And I get on the phone with my dad, who has to pull out a map, right? It's crazy stuff. You talk about dating yourself. He pulled a map out on the phone and kind of gave me directions. And so instead of coming in from the west of New Orleans, I came in from the east. It was a bad time to come in east of New Orleans, right? So I hit Slidell. I go over it wasn't the twin span at the time. It was half floating. I go over the bridge. I'm bobbing. I get across, and there's no exits open in New Orleans East. They're just blocked off. And I remember vividly seeing a car on the roof of a shopping center and looking to the left and seeing a street with a bunch of driveways, and there was no houses. And so it was very – I remember calling home and being like, I don't know what to do. I can't get off. I'm kind of low on gas. I can't get off the interstate. Like, the whole city is gone. I don't know how there's a football team. There's no city. Obviously, by the time you get to New Orleans, you see the city. Okay, there's actual people here. And you get in towards the airport. Airport Hilton was home for like 8 months. And I remember feeling a little bit better. I saw Society, and then I saw McDonald's offering $1,000 signing bonuses to work there. And then I realized I was in a bad place in that moment. And so I got to see this city, and it's worse. And for 12 years, it's gotten better every single year. And I think what's been special is I've gotten to be a part not only of this organization kind of growing to its where it is today, but also the city. And so it's very hard not to become attached to that, to feel a part of it. And obviously the things that happened here in 06 – winning a world championship in 09 and getting to be around people in the city and hearing what it means to them and what we've meant to them, it endears you very quickly. And certainly it's played a huge role in my decision to not leave here. In spite of what some of you think. My wife actually said she would go anywhere that I felt like I needed to go. So she was not tied to New Orleans. It was a decision that we made that we were going to stay because, you know, it was home to both of us. Thank you, guys. Yep.
That's the round I got drafted in. Thanks for dressing up for this, Sean. You won't miss that.
There's a story behind it.